Welcome to Strength for Today, the preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church, an independent, fundamental, non-denominational Bible church in Winter Park, seeking to proclaim the whole counsel of God, to point all to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to do all, as stated in Revelation 1:9, for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Our speaker is Central Florida Bible Church's pastor, John Pereira. You may wish to have paper and pen for important information following the message. For more information regarding prior broadcast and other sermons by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Now, here is Pastor John proclaiming the strength for today.
We're going to continue in our Strength for Today Bible broadcast on our series on the first epistle of John. Last week, we saw that the theme for the book of 1 John is fellowship. And in order to have fellowship with God, the Apostle John demonstrates to us that we must first have fellowship with the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why in verses 1 through 4, we're introduced to the person of fellowship. We can never have fellowship with God unless we are in right relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know Him as your personal Savior? Are you trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you been washed in the blood of the Lamb? Today we're going to be looking at verses 5 through 7. We've looked at the person of fellowship, but now we're going to look at the pathway of fellowship. Reading from 1 John chapter 1, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." It is amazing to me, as I look at the contemporary professing Christian scene, the marks of idolatry that encompass professing Christianity. Have you ever done a study of some of the contemporary relics that are part of apostate Christianity? I think of the city of Naples and Rome, where the hair of the Virgin Mary is displayed in both of these cities prominently. The Virgin Mary's wedding ring is found in the cathedral in Perugia. Her holy girdle is found in a church in Prato. Drops of virgin's milk are kept in the church of San Gaudioso e Patrizio at Naples, and at St. Mary of the People at Rome. The holy basin, allegedly used at the Last Supper, is kept in the Cathedral of St. Lorenzo in Genoa. The lance that pierced Jesus' side, Veronica's veil with Christ's features imprinted upon it, and the head of St. Andrew are all kept in the four massive piers which support St. Peter's Dome. Christ's burial sheet is in Turin Cathedral of St. John the Baptist. The rectangular marble stone with Christ's footprints is kept at the Church of St. Sebastian in Rome. Three shoulder blades, four legs, five arms, 50 index fingers, all supposedly that of John the Baptist, which pointed to the Lamb of God, plus 13 heads that all claim to belong to John the Baptist, spread all over the continent. Then there's the search for Noah's Ark, which, if they ever found it, certainly they would make another religious relic out of, and claim all types of healings and fantastic, miraculous occurrences, making it an item of idolatry. The search for the Ark of the Covenant has spawned many a Hollywood movie, even the Holy Grail. As horrible as all of this idolatry is, and indeed it is, and it underscores the wicked nature of man and how prone we still are towards idolatry, this idolatry cannot compare with the idolatry that distorts the very nature and the glory of God. You know, we ourselves here in America have to contend with so much of the idolatry that can easily creep into the Christian experience. Movements today, the humanization of God and the deification of man that we see today in so much pop psychology, in so much need-centered preaching today, a lot of today's music, all of these things are marks that we have distorted the very nature and the glory of God. And yet the Word of God tells us that the proper pathway towards fellowship with God and the basis of our fellowship with God is based upon a proper understanding of the holiness and the nature of God. The Word of God says in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all." A proper understanding of the nature of God is essential for fellowship with the Lord. We need to understand that He is our holy God. He is our pure and sovereign God. He is not the man upstairs like so many Christian music songs speak of today. If we're to have fellowship with God, we must be like Him. And if He is holy, then we should be holy. If He is light, then we should seek to walk in the light of God's Word. Light speaks of the nature of God. Even in the physical realm, think of God, the light, as revealed in the Shekinah glory in the book of Exodus chapter 13, verses 21 and 22, where He's pictured in His resplendent glory by the pillar of fire. Yes, He is holy. He is the light. Think of Jesus Christ in His transfiguration when His body and His clothing was shining bright, a prediction and a prefigurement of our Lord in His kingdom glory when He is ruling and reigning on the earth upon the throne of David. Think of the New Jerusalem, where there's no need for the sun, Revelation 22:5, because the glory of God and the sun are the light of that glorious city. Yes, Jesus Christ is the light in the physical sense, and also He's the light in the mental realm. Because you see, light in the Scriptures is equivalent to truth. And our Lord is the truth. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the opposite of darkness, falsehood, and deception. Our Lord is a God of light. And those who seek Him are going to seek the light of God's Word. That's why the Bible tells us that the wicked love darkness. Walk into a bar today and you'll see that characteristically they are darkened. And it is an atmosphere of darkness. And the wicked do their evil deeds under the guise of darkness. But God sees all. He is the light. Some of you that are listening to my words today are working in places that are spiritually darkened. Not much of a Christian witness. Perhaps the name of Christ is ridiculed and mocked. And God has placed you to work, perhaps in a factory, in a plant, in an office, with colleagues where there is a great deal of spiritual darkness. But you are the light of the world, representing Jesus Christ. Oh yes, as God is light, so are we to be light. But I see it here in this passage, as light is used, God's light in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5 is equivalent to His holiness. Here we have the context of the holiness of God. The holiness of God forms the basis of our need for biblical separation from sin. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, God's Word says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." What fellowship? In other words, what in common has righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion has light with darkness? You see, fellowship with God involves a life and a walk and a sharing of His nature. And the basis of fellowship is a biblical understanding of the nature of God. Oh, how we need to see to it that our lives demonstrate the doctrine of God and His holiness, and that we adorn the doctrine of God, as Paul exhorted Titus. We've seen what the Word of God has to say for the basis of fellowship. That the basis of fellowship is a biblical understanding of the nature of God. And that's come under attack today. In cream puff contemporary music that characterizes an anemic view of God. And in the failure of God's people to properly live out the Christian life in witness and testimony of God's epistles written upon tables of flesh. Notice not only the basis for fellowship in verse 5, but the test of fellowship. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 reads, "If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not do the truth." Notice, if we say we have fellowship with Him. Here, the word "say" speaks of the language of profession. Here, the Word of God reminds us that our walk reveals the reality of our talk. And yet, hypocrisy is found in the lives of many professing believers. Historically, John was facing professing believers who had embraced the error of ancient Gnosticism, those who taught that all matter was evil. And therefore, since our bodies were composed of material substance, it didn't really matter what we did with our bodies. And their lives were characterized by sensual, physical immorality. This is why the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 admonished the Corinthian believers, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Our bodies are bought with a price, and we are to glorify God in our bodies and in our spirits." God has a future for these very bodies that we possess. And at the rapture, which is the next prophetic event in God's timetable, He's going to raise up these bodies, incorruptible, conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We are not to walk in darkness. The Word of God tells us in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6 that we are to walk as children of light. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, the word walk there is in the present tense. In other words, our lives, are they characterized by darkness? Do we continue to walk in sin as a lifestyle? If we say that we know Him and we walk in darkness, the word walk, peripateo, means the entire circumference of our lives. The perimeter of our lives, is it characterized by sin as a lifestyle? Then that is a denial of true fellowship with God. And we're lying. We're lying to others, and above all, we're lying to ourselves. We're living in denial if we feel comfortable living in our sin. Continuing to walk in sin puts a lie to our profession in sharing and fellowshipping with God in eternal life. And we don't practice the truth. You know, in the book of Titus, chapter 1 and verse 16, the Apostle Paul spoke of some. And it says, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. I remember when I was a young man working my way through seminary in South Bend, Indiana, there was a young man who I was working with, and I was training as a lead man, and I was working with an individual who was the most foul-mouthed man I had ever met in my life. And I've been around, and I've seen a lot of foul mouths before. And as I was working with this man at the factory, he found out that I was a professing believer, and he asked me, "Oh, really? You're studying to be a pastor. Is that right? Have you read any of Hal Lindsey's books?" And at this particular point in time, Hal Lindsey had written several books on prophecy, and he started naming all of the books that he had read by Hal Lindsey, and Walvoord, and Ryrie, and several other of the well-known prophetic writers, even in our day today. And I looked at him and I said, "Do you mean to tell me that you profess to be a Christian?" He told me, "Oh yes, I'm a Christian, and I've read all of these books." And I began to talk to him about the fact that if we know Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, it is our responsibility to give people the right opinion of Jesus, and that we are to walk as He walked. And we are to see to it that our speech glorifies God, for when we stand before Him, we will give an account of everything that we have spoken. And I shared with him about his responsibility of not being a stumbling block to others. Sad to say, in spite of our conversation, in spite of everything that we had said and talked about together, he went on his merry way, graffitiing the name and testimony of Jesus Christ. And everything that I was trying to do for the Lord, it just seemed that He seemed to undo it. They profess that they know God, but in their works, they deny Him. You know, Jesus said, "You are my disciples indeed, if you continue in my word." And God's word says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and our walk in the Christian life is characterized by darkness, we're not practicing the truth. We are not walking in the truth. We are not in the truth. But notice, not only do we see the basis of fellowship in verse 5 and the test of fellowship, walking in the truth, but now look at the evidence of fellowship in verse 7. Walking in the light is evidence of sharing eternal life with God. It says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Are we walking in the light? That means our vertical relationship with Christ is right. And we're walking under the light of His Word. That's going to impact the horizontal relationships that we have. Because if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. You know, as a pastor and as a counselor, I'm able to tell you on the authority of God's Word that if you are having relational problems, immediately you need to look at your vertical relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never done any marriage counseling where husband and wife were at odds against each other without first realizing and needing to point out that there were some things that needed to get right between each partner and God. Because when we have problems one with another, it begins with our faith and our walk relationship with Christ. And it begins by receiving Jesus Christ as personal Savior, because the person of fellowship is a must in order to enter into the pathway of fellowship. But God's Word says if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And notice, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us. That's in the present tense. Keeps cleansing us from all sin. You see, if we fail to forgive others, that will affect that daily cleansing that we need to receive from our Lord and the forgiveness of sin. Have you received Jesus Christ truly as your personal Savior? Or is your Christianity a facade? Are you looking to creeds? Are you looking to ritual as a sign of your Christianity? The Bible tells us the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Not baptism, not confirmation, not church membership, not ritual or creeds. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Come to Jesus Christ. Receive Christ as your personal Savior. Examine your relationship. Have you entered the Christian life through the proper entranceway? That is the person of fellowship, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself reminded us in His Word that we are to enter into the straight way. For broad is the way that leads to condemnation. We are to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and follow Him and obey Him. and walk in His truth. May God challenge us to follow Christ and to seek to daily obey Him. I want to encourage you to come worship with us at Central Florida Bible Church. Come as we study the Word of God together. Let us fellowship one with another, knowing that our fellowship is truly with the Lord Jesus Christ in having that common relationship of salvation and the possession of the Holy Spirit of God. May God bless you richly as you walk with Him. If we can be of any spiritual ministry to you, contact us at the information at the end of our broadcast. We will be glad to provide literature for you. We'll be glad to provide, at no charge, even copies of our broadcasts, so that you might be able to go on in your journey with Christ, and the best will be yet to come.
Thank you for tuning in to Strength for Today, the radio preaching ministry of the Central Florida Bible Church that meets in the Goldenrod Station, located in Winter Park, just 3 traffic lights east of Cimarron Boulevard at the intersection of Aloma and Palmetto. For more information about Central Florida Bible Church, to comment on the broadcast, to request a complimentary copy of today's message, or to listen to some of the other 500 messages by Pastor John, please visit our website, www.strengthfortoday.info. That's www.strengthfortoday.info. Or you may call Pastor John Pereira at 407-656-9683. That's 407-656-9683. This is Charles Schaeff inviting you to come and worship with us tomorrow at the 10 a.m. Bible study classes for all ages and the 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. preaching services. Our prayer service is Wednesday at 7 p.m. May the Lord richly bless you as you go forth to serve Him.